Chapter 5, Finances and Controversies. Because only amateurs could compete in the first years of the modern Olympics, the competing athletes were usually rich. They could afford to spend the time and money necessary for training as amateur athletes. But this wasn't fair, as it excluded many talented working-class athletes. These athletes believed they should also have a chance to compete, and they wanted the opportunity to participate. In the 1920s, the Olympic Committee began to compensate athletes for money they lost for missing work. But professional athletes couldn't compete until the 1980s. From then on, professional and amateur athletes competed together, and this finally opened the games to all. Training and financing of athletes around the world differs from place to place. China pays all training costs for its Olympic hopefuls and gives the athletes salaries. But the 2008 film, The Red Race, shows the intense training and often cruel treatment of Chinese child athletes preparing for the Olympics. It makes you think about the very high price of China's gymnastic gold medals. Many people call it child abuse. Like many Chinese Olympic champions, gymnast Jing Aoyi began training at 5 years of age, and he joined the Shandong provincial team at 8. At 12, he joined the Chinese national team, and his intensive training continued for 4 more years. He entered international competition, competing in the Asian Games of 1998. At 18, Jing and his teammates won the men's team gold medal at the Sydney Olympics. In the USA, parents usually pay for their child athletes until the age of 18. The US Olympic Committee then financed the best adult athletes. Olympics organizations depend on public donations to support the training of their athletes. Sometimes, a business or local community sponsor an Olympic hopeful from their area. Bonnie Blair started skating at 2 years old. She loved skating and started to compete at age 4. Throughout elementary and middle school, Blair did other sports too, including athletics. At 15 years old, Blair dedicated her time to speed skating and joined the US speed skating team. In 1980, at 16, Blair competed at the Olympic trials, but she did not make the 1980 Olympic team because she needed more training. Europe was the best place for her to train, but her family couldn't pay for her training. Fortunately, many generous Americans heard about Blair and decided to help her. The Champagne Policemen's Benevolent Association in Illinois collected the money for her training, and Bonnie didn't disappoint them. In 3 Winter Olympics after that, she won 5 gold medals, more than any American woman athlete in the Winter Games. Drugs, unhealthy for athletes, bad for competition. Some athletes take drugs to make their performance better, even though this is against Olympic Committee rules. In some cases, governments even pressure their athletes to take these drugs. From 1968 to the late 1980s, the government of East Germany gave steroids to young Olympic hopefuls without the Olympic Committee knowing. Many people suspected drug use when the East German women swimmers won 11 of the 13 swimming medals at the 1976 Olympics. After the reunification of Germany, the West learned that the East Germans drugged 10,000 Olympic athletes from as young as 13 years old. These steroids made many young athletes very ill. In 1988, at the Seoul Olympics, Canadian champion Ben Johnson set a new world record when he won the 100-meter race in 9.79 seconds. But tests showed drugs in his blood. The committee immediately cancelled his gold medal and his world record. During the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics of 2002, Johann Muhlegg, a German skier representing Spain, was disqualified because tests showed the drug darbepoetin in his blood. In the same games, British skier Alan Baxter, lost his medal because he used a nasal inhaler, even though it did not make his performance better in any way. Drugs aren't the only things prohibited at the Olympics. Swimmers mustn't wear high-tech polyurethane swimsuits because they give them an unfair advantage over swimmers in normal swimsuits. Winning with someone else's blood? Some athletes want to improve their performance without the use of drugs, and they do this with blood transfusions. Fresh blood, either their own or someone else's blood of the same type, can increase oxygen intake up to 9% and can improve performance by 23%. Some members of the 1984 USA cycling team received blood transfusions before their races. With the help of other people's blood, the team won 9 Olympic medals. Over time, the committee prohibited this practice, although it is still difficult to test for it. For many of the athletes, it is not what they put in their bodies that hurts them. Instead, it is what they don't put in. Many athletes, especially women gymnasts, follow severe diets and suffer dangerous eating disorders, such as anorexia and bulimia, in order to keep body weight down. Some great Olympic athletes admitted to fighting eating disorders when they were competitive gymnasts, including Nadia Comaneci, Kathy Johnson, and Kathy Rigby. Rigby, of the 1968 and 1972 Olympics, had problems with anorexia and bulimia for many years. Her eating disorders made her heart stop twice. Is an Olympic medal worth it?